Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show at 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. And for all the people who might not know, the sun is shining in Seattle today. It's one of those days. It's one of those days that we call a day that makes us righteous for staying when all the rain. I mean, we love these kind of days. Even strangers speak to you on a sunny day in Seattle. So I'm going to just say, hey, we got a sunny day here in Seattle. It might be gone tomorrow. I have Mr. Ryan and Mr. Armstead on, and they're going to, Mr. Armstead is going to come on and give us an update about what he's working on. And then after that, I'm going to be talking about Virtuous Healing Circle and Benjamin Crump. And then my last guest, Dr. Alice, with the Community Police Commission, she's the executive director, will come on in the last half of the Mother's Justice Show. So hello, Mr. Armstead. It's been a while since you've been on. You know, the national president of the, I mean, you're a member of the National Association of Minority Contractors, okay? Right.
And he's president of the Washington State chapter of Harriet.
Yes, and president of the Washington State chapter. And you know, we're not minorities. You know, we're majority people in the world. You know that, but that's how we say it in America sometimes. But yes, welcome, sir. I don't think you've been on this year. I mean, the year is still a baby. You know, it's still crawling. It's not October yet, so you have some room to grow. So, hey, give us an update about what you're working on and what's going on.
Well, thank you for having me,
and it is
a new year, but we seem to have carryover of some of the old problems, and we are engaged in attempting to overcome and correct some of those. Real quick background, we happen to be in the midst of the largest federal funding for cities, states, counties, and others for construction and many other things than we've had in the last 50 years. There are four major federal programs: the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, community benefits planning, and the Justice 40 initiative. And we at NAMAC, as we're called, have been working the last 16 months attempting to get reporting and accountability from the public agencies in Washington State that are the recipients of that funding. And specifically this time, because those pieces of legislation have specific requirements to work with underserved communities that have not traditionally been worked with through the funding mechanisms that are included in these acts, and to include our communities in the planning for how these programs and projects will be developed and administered. We have been unsuccessful to date in getting from any of the public agencies in Washington State a copy of their plan to obtain the goals of the Infrastructure Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, Comprehensive Plan, and so forth. We have recently received a report from Sound Transit that outlines some of the expenditures, which is something that we had been requesting for over a year. But we also need to see what their planning is for how they are going to meet the objectives of these federal grants and programs. An example of one: in the Infrastructure Act, there are special provisions in it to address things like the at-grade construction of the light rail through Rainier Valley, where it disrupted and cut apart a community. President Biden, in several of his speeches, but also included in the wording in the act is the desire to address the harm that was done by separating communities and introducing additional hazards and all kinds of things that didn't exist before. We have not seen where, say, Sound Transit, for example, has developed a plan to address that. But even before that, these acts and the funding that goes with them require that we participate in the planning.
Right.
For which projects are going to be put forward and how they're going to address conditions that was caused by funding from the federal government to build roads and highways and airports and light rail lines and so forth. We are specifically concerned today, and I don't want to take too much of your time, in that the Department of Transportation, which is the primary recipient of the Infrastructure Act funding, has a requirement that goes with all of its funding. One of those requirements is that the recipients have a Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, DBE program. Also that, you know, there are several other things in there that address accountability. But one of the things that's in there that has always been important to us is that the person within those agencies that are responsible for all levels of inclusion report directly to whomever the executive officer of that agency happens to be, he or she. And over the years, we have occasion where we have had to remind some of the public agencies in Washington State of this requirement, which is a condition of receiving that federal funding. Within the last couple of weeks, we were informed that Sound Transit had put together an executive level reorganization. And in that reorganization, that position that had previously reported directly to the chief executive was lowered or demoted or reorged down to a position where they would report through someone to the executive director. Now, this is harmful in many aspects. One, it's not in compliance with the condition of them receiving the funding. Two, it sends a message to us in the community that they are not as committed to all of the inclusionary things that we hear them say and that we see in their documents.
You mean Sound Transit, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because see, they've never been committed. I mean, because Verlaine did a report on them many, many years ago on how they, what Sound Transit was doing at that time. So you're right about that.
Yeah. And decades ago, we went through the same situation with them where they had to be reminded that this was a condition of their receiving funding. But their board of directors and others within the agency are quick to talk about how committed they are to the community and all of the things that they're going to do for the community.
But what are we going to do? I mean, is anybody in the governor's cabinet that we can report this to, or it's just we talking to ourselves? Or what are our steps? What are we going to do?
Well, in this instance, the first thing that we do is to report this executive reorganization to the Sound Transit Board of Directors.
Okay.
They are in a position to correct it.
Okay.
If they do not, then we, in this case, this these funds for most of the funding for Sound Transit comes from the Federal Transit Administration. We can go to them, then from them, we can go to the Secretary of Transportation and to the Biden administration if necessary.
Let me interject, Bob.
Yeah, because
Reverend Harriet, I want you to understand that over the weekend, I sent out about 68 emails.
Okay.
I also sent out the federal regulations. And I also suggested that Thursday is a Sound Transit Board meeting.
Right.
Which will happen at 1:30. I mean, I know there's a Taiwan on at the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, but it might be a good education where Dr. James Carter brings some of them young brothers down to the Sound Transit Board meeting so they can see what they have to do in the future. So they might as well prepare them to fight right now.
Right.
But I sent most members of the clergy. I got a copy of what was happening about the board meeting, and also sent out a copy of the federal regulation that requires what President Armstead just mentioned. And I hope I have your right email address, but
well,
about
you know, you
60,
probably do, but
I know you have so many. But anyway, so I want you to know that that's what one of the things NAMC has done so far through myself is to send out the information so people will be apprised of what's happening. And we're going to be working on trying to get folks to the board meeting. And the African-American board members on Sound Transit's board received a copy already.
Well, you know, I mean, Sound Transit has had this history. I mean, before, when they first got started digging the tunnel, they would hire African-Americans, then go to California and bring back Latinos and then fire the African-Americans on the job. I mean, because the report was there. And at the time, the president of the NAACP would not move forward on that report. And it showed how they bait and switch, how they started out with black workers and then end up with when for the long money, they bring in other people of different ethnicities that could go up under the BIPOC that I'm not that leaves us out of the BIPOC. So I mean that these people have not been fair brokers to us at all, and have made all that money, and has locked us out the door. Going all the way back to building, doing the tunnel. Didn't they break the machine out there of doing the tunnel? You know, yeah. They just like our long memory. You know, I mean, we just can't help that we like the elephant. So, yeah.
Well, we have to remember and we have to act when there are opportunities to act.
That's right.
And as Eddie stated, attending that Sound Transit Board meeting on Thursday is an action that we can take to correct this particular problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, and this is good to get that out. Today. I mean, and all to continue with that. And I will read the email. I just don't think I can come on Thursday. But I mean, I'd like to know about the next ones and see how we can organize some people to come.
Well, Reverend Harriet, Dow Constantine is the chair of the board. And Mayor Bruce Harrell is on the board. Mayor Victoria Wooders out of Tacoma is on the board. Council member, King County Council member Gurmay Sahali is on the board. The executive director of the Commission on African American Affairs, Ed Prince, is on the board.
Okay.
They all have received this information already. So if anybody would go and look up the Sound Transit Board, if there's one of your representatives, your council members, we ask you to please contact those individuals to let them know. That way, we can do a preemptive thing as opposed to showing up. Let's inundate, express our dissatisfaction to those elected officials through emails and also phone calls. So thank you very much, Reverend Harriet.
Yeah, that's one thing that I personally can do is do some phone calls. But that Thursday is already taken. I can do that piece personally. But you know, like we talk about all the time, Mr. Armstead and Mr. Wright, is that this is just a recurring theme in our life in America. You know, I mean, and to think that now, I mean, I heard something this, it goes with this, but not with this, that they want to take the diversity and whatever out of the medical schools now. I'm saying, well, I guess Meharry Medical School will be full of people again going to school. So now they want to train doctors or medical people who have no awareness of other people and how their body functions. So this is
the sad thing about this, Reverend Harriet, is that that effort to deny black folks equal access to education and contracts is headed up by a former Trump aide by the name of Stephen Miller, and another guy by the name of Ed Bloom. And they're getting millions of dollars from Elon Musk. The ironic thing is that those two folks are both Jewish.
Well, you know, that doesn't make any more. They had Jews who work with Hitler. I mean, really and truly.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, though, you know, right now we see what's going on. And the fact that when I look at my history, and that's been on my Facebook page, the number of black soldiers, the 761st Tank Battalion, the Black Panthers, 183rd, they freed Jews from and probably Stephen Miller and Ed Bloom's great-great-grandparents from concentration camps. So that's the part that bugs me. And now we have another situation in the Middle East that I won't delve into right now. But the first three people to die over there in support of Israel were black from Georgia.
Well, but what we can say is that we support people who continuously to stab us in the back. And I just think it's time for us to get really, really understanding that we are the cheese that stands alone. And then you plot your life that way. I mean, we look for these people and they're not there. And I'm going to take on Stephen Miller on Twitter. I mean, out there, I'm going to, you know, ask him when his ancestors came to America. And now, you know, I mean, we have a right to ask it everything that we're asking for. Because even Mr. Armstead, if he's in construction or he's in, you know, a network, you know that most everything that was given, most everything good in America came from us.
400 years. Like my daughter said, we built this joint for free.
Oh, yeah, but also medicine. I mean, space. Elon Musk would not be able to go to space if it wasn't for who? Katherine Johnson. Okay.
So, all right.
All right. But this is wonderful. I'll do my part on this. And Mr. Armstead, now I thought you had a little something about some grants or something about black people getting grants. That was something that you had talked about a little earlier, Mr. Ryan, about grants.
There's some information regarding grants for nonprofits and for churches.
Okay.
For energy, windows, HVACs, and stuff like that.
Okay.
And what I'll do is I can send you the information I got from Chairman Armstead. I mean, President Armstead. I'll just send that to you. Then that way you'll have it.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you all always coming on and keeping us abreast, you know, of what's going on. Because as Marcus Garvey said, we have to organize for our own self-protection. I'm a Garveyite, okay? I don't move on that. For our own self-protection. Nobody
no
else. It's nobody. No cavalry is coming for us. We are our own cavalry, okay?
We are the cavalry.
Yeah, we are the cavalry.
We have been for 400 years.
Oh, yeah. So this is so. Thank you so much for coming on to the Mother's Justice Show, and I'll do my part, okay?
Thank you very much, Reverend.
All right. Thank you. All right. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. We'll be right back.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Hi, this is Marilyn Milano. If you love animals, then please check out my new show, Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays from 9 to 9:30 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. I'll be talking with rescue groups, animal advocates, and other organizations that help animals, sharing their stories and giving our listeners some tangible ways in which they can help make a difference. That's Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150, raising awareness, touching hearts, and saving animals' lives.
On the path to good health and well-being, Alternative Talk 1150 is the station for you.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. It'll be a few more minutes before my guest comes on. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Virtuous Healing Circle. That's one of our sponsors. And True Transparency, I am Virtuous Healing Circles. We are absolutely doing healing circles around Seattle, and I've created some virtues cards. I'm using inspired by the Virtues Project. The Virtues Project is a project that is all over the world. Started about 34 years in Canada by some Baha'is and now and lovely other people. They first stopped in America was Seattle over 30 years ago, and I have been a facilitator. The Virtues is a power program that calls us to our highest and best good. These are virtues. These are characters of God that put in all people, and sometimes they're in potential. I mean, we can look around the world, and we can maybe see that some people's virtues are in potential. But then you have other people who are working out with those virtues of kindness, generosity, joy, beauty, consideration, collaboration, unity, steadfastness, friendliness. All of these are virtues, and we're at our highest and best good when we come from that place in our heart to work with people in the world. And one thing about the Virtues Project and the Virtues Healing Circles that we're doing, it's a mini listening project. What it does is get you out your head into your heart immediately, because we can't solve the world's problems in our head. I mean, if it could, we wouldn't have wars going on in the world today. We wouldn't have retaliation as an event that happened, and we see this happening in Gaza. I mean, we would have in the midst of this, we would have compassion. We could say, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, what is happening now is sheer destruction. And it comes from real dislike of other people and religion. Well, all these religions can stand this test of time. They've been around for a long time. And people are still fighting about who can exist and who shall not exist in today's world. War is out of style. All of this is just passe. There's a new world being birthed. And that new world is kindness, generosity, peace, all the things that goes to make sure that you're well and I'm well. There's enough in the world for everyone. The shortage, it's not a real shortage. It's all made up on some levels because things are with things are being withheld, or with people who really don't want to see other people on the planet. And you know, the great life started in Africa. I mean, we know that. And so we are available for virtues, for healing circles. We'll be putting out more information about that. We are available not only for our community, but in the community right now. I remember people who are suffering who's going through trauma. And the whole world is going through trauma right now. It's a lot of trauma to go around, not only in America, but around the world. We also host a Virtues Healing Connection. Virtues Healing Circles also host a circle the last Wednesday of every month from 6 to 7:30 at the Liberty Bank Apartments Community Room, 1405 24th Avenue, 98122. I'm available for that. You can give me a call at 206. 380-1710 if you want to know more about that. And also, we're available to work with people. It's a lot of families who is experiencing their loved ones who've committed suicide. And so we want to be available for parents also who's suffering through this great tragedy of a great loss. And a lot of times the young people, I mean, a lot of times they're under the age of 24 that has taken their own life. And so we're so excited to be part of this new wave of life. It's not new. Love has always been around. It has never went out of style. It's just that it's been covered up. And people think they can get to nirvana with violence and hatred. That's like growing up in America again. It never went away, of course. It was just in a bottle. And the top has been taken off the bottle right now. And the genie is out of the bottle. And the genie right now is not about love. It's about harm. It's about revenge. It's about all the things that's antithetical to people who say that they're Christians. All this is antithetical to the teachings of Christ. If you believe that, if you believe that he says, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And on the other hand, you want to restrict movement or restrict other people. Well, it's antithetical. It's antithetical to believe that and all of this and behave contrary to what it says. And of course, we don't all know what it says because it was spoken in Aramaic, in a language that we don't speak today. It's only a few people outside of the Coptics, the people who have the original books that we call the Bible. I mean, there's some originals out here, but it's not in the hands of the Americans or the Western world. And that's good because it would be altered. But I get a lot of joy from doing the healing circles because I believe, I actually, I'm one of these people who believe that we're creating another world. All of this is this is the end of this cycle of violence, and people want peace, they want harmony. And one of the things that I was talking to my son about today was about, they were talking about a lot of the poor people and how much things cost. And I said, well, son, you know, it's not been any president who actually understood you got to lift people out of poverty. I say that all the time. There has to be a movement of believing that there is a lot of good for all people on the earth. And I think with the Virtuous Healing Circles, that what we're doing, we're going to be part of that good. And today is Earth Day. Well, I personally think that every day ought to be the Mother's Day, because if the earth belongs to the mother, then we should treat the earth better. We should treat our mother better, because our mother provides food for us. When we put a seed in the ground, then it grows a little bit more. It grows a lot. It grows a lot and provides for us. So let's keep positive. And you can reach out to Reverend Walden. I'll give you my phone number again. It's 206-380-1710. And if you're interested in knowing more and more about the Virtuous Healing Circles, and you're welcome to show up tomorrow, Wednesday night, which is the last Wednesday of the month. Wednesday night, the last Wednesday of the month. I is not this Wednesday, but this, the last Wednesday of the month is probably next Wednesday. But please show up and be inspired. Be inspired. And also, you get to keep the cards, whatever card you choose, and you get to take that card with you. I'm excited about it. You can tell when I'm excited. I'm excited about doing good in the world. I'm excited about planting those seeds and absolutely helping people to understand that no matter what they're going through right now, they can move through that event without violence. We don't ever have to harm anyone. We don't ever have to do that piece. It's always a different way. Even if you have to take a pause and say, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do right now. But then there's a way that opens for us. Whenever we say we don't know what we're going to do, the universe, some people call it God, some people call it universe, some people call it by other names, but it's always a way to move forward, to move forward, to move forward. Let's take a break right now and come back on the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW, waiting my guests to come on. Thanks.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth, and I am a lifelong animal lover. I grew up on a farm in Illinois and spent my life caring for horses and animals of all shapes and sizes. Your life can be forever changed too by adopting a shelter pet. It's not only the joy your new pet experiences when they find a loving home, but also the happiness you'll get from welcoming them into your life. The heroes at American Humane have been helping animals for more than 140 years. You can learn more at AmericanHumane.org.
Bringing good vibes to the Puget Sound and the world. Alternative Talk 1150.
Oh, good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. And lean on me. Do you know that we need to figure out how we can lean on each other when we're not strong? I mean, that's what we really need in the world. We need more of that. I want to thank you, Eric, for playing that song for me. You can always tell when I get excited about a song. That's almost every song, I guess you say. What could I say? I want to bring my next guest on. This is Dr. Tali Ellis. She's the executive director of the Community Police Commission. She's going to spend the rest of the time talking about what our event is going to be coming up tomorrow. I am a commissioner, but I've been on for a while. But hi, Dr. Ellis, you want to unmute yourself?
Of course. Hi. Hello, Reverend Molden. It's nice to see you.
Yeah. How you doing today? You good?
Very good.
Good. Well, the sun always makes us good. You know, I mean, you know, this is, so when the sun is out, every grumpy people speak to you. All the grumpy people speak, you know, when it's raining, they're just grumpy. But when the sun is out, it's our vindicating days. This is the kind of days, this is the days that keep us here. Where we can see the Olympics and the Cascades, you know. Yeah, so it's beautiful. I hope you had a nice weekend.
Yes, I did. I hope you did too.
Yeah, I did. I did. So, yeah. Well, welcome. I mean, and we're having an event tomorrow, and you're here to talk to us about it and to let my listeners know all about that. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. I'm very excited that tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. at the Van Asselt Community Center, this is down Rainier on the South End, we are going to be hosting a meeting for the community to talk about their concerns with accountability and the leaked SPOG contract. So last week, for a little while, the SPOG contract was put on their website, and we were able to download it and do quite a bit of in-depth analysis on where it lines up with accountability, whether or not it's meeting the promises to the community that were made as part of the 2017 accountability ordinance. So this is your chance to weigh in on that contract, to talk about your concerns about the contract, what you would like in the contract. This is a community meeting that is open to everyone.
Well, that's good to know, because as we know, and a lot of the community might not know, that we're still working to get key parts of the ordinance I accepted. I'm actually on the table so it could be negotiated we're anxious to know about that. And of course, in 2018, the commission asked the city not to not to okay it, you know, and I guess that would call for unfair labor practice, but I think that this is really key for the community to know about it, and to know what. And also, I hope we have a great definition of what constitutional policing is, because a lot of times we talk about constitutional policing, but really, what is it? I mean, outside of people like Benjamin Crump and other people, and some of the other people, a lot of just regular people, we talk about it, but we don't have a clear direction or a definition, either a picture of what it might look like in everyday policing, you know?
Yeah. Well, really what it means is that the police are following the law when they are apprehending criminals or helping people in the community or doing everything as part of their job. They are, because they're able to carry weapons legally and do a lot of other things that the rest of us cannot do, they have a huge responsibility, a tremendous responsibility that goes with that. And so constitutional policing is really making sure that they are following the law in everything they do, whether that's something that community likes or whether that's something that's of community concern.
Well, I know we've been talking about it for years, talking about constitutional policing. I was talking to someone else about this the other day, is that the police are considered a standing army in America, because you can only call out the National Guard when there's another type of emergency, and the governor is the only person that could do that. But if they were having a major event like the chopper, just say part of that, and called out not only National Guard but maybe a mutual aid from other communities, then when the legislature is going in every state, they're there to lined up to make sure that whatever they have be protected. I mean, I got a call last Monday from a dentist, a friend of mine, whose family member was hurt in a police chase down in Tacoma the other day. Mm-hmm. Right, it was right through a school zone.
Wow.
And it was chasing a suspect who had died. I mean, somebody who was suspected of stealing a car. But I hit my friend's niece. Her mother was driving the car, but had just dropped off her son. Mm. Three or four cars piled up there, and this is, they thought that the new law pushing back this, giving them more of a right had been in effect, but that law doesn't go in until July, and they already I can like, well, we got the law right now, because right now they're still up under the old one, see?
Yeah.
And that's what she was, she didn't know that. And I put her with the Washington State, the Coalition for Police Accountability, with a group of people, and for them to work on that. I passed the call on to Paul Benz and that. But again, that some of this is how we look at constitutional policing. So that's why, you know, it's important for us to have some kind of say over what's happening with the police in our community.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited about the meeting. The last time we had quite a few people there, because we had other people that was organized also, that was actually standing up for it. But they were, you know, it was interesting, because when you're standing up for something, you got to know what you're standing up for.
Mm-hmm.
And we were standing up because we knew that the contract didn't yield much, and that we'd learned that if the contract don't yield much, it reverts back to the other contracts that's already won. And so for us right now, we're back to 2005 and 2006 in a lot of different areas. And I don't know if we might even have time to talk about that tomorrow, but it's taken us some places back that mm-hmm. most of the community don't know about, see. And I don't remember all of them right now, but there's quite a few places that.
Yeah, the Landmark Accountability Ordinance that was passed in 2017 was really a commitment from city leaders to the community that this matters, that we care, that we are going to hold these law enforcement officers responsible for it. And we've been able to see in police contracts, which is the focus of tomorrow's meeting, how it's possible to include parts of the accountability ordinance in the contract. So the Seattle Police Management Association has had a couple contracts since 2017, and they have progressively included more and more accountability provisions from that ordinance in the contract. But that is only the people that are lieutenants and captains, sort of higher up in the ranks. That is not the kind of officers you would see every single day, patrol officers and sergeants that you would see on the street. They're covered by a different contract, the focus of the contract that we're going to talk about tomorrow.
And the focus of contract, the SPARC contract, the president of the guild of that organization ran on Making America Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
And 70% of the rank and file voted out Kevin Stuckey, the Black president of the guild, for Mark Solon. I think that's always important to put that part of any kind of anything, because that attitude right now is it's antithetical. It's antithetical to the people who pay their wages. And one of the things that I've been telling people is that I think we have to change the language from public servants to public employees.
Yeah,
I think if we can make that shift, I think people could understand that actually they work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been telling people with mothers ever since 1990 that they work for us. But the people think that they're public servants. They are public servants who get paid on public money, and that makes them therefore public employees. And I think if we could shift that in a mindset, then we have a right to have something to say about our employees, because no police officers in America get paid on federal dollars unless it's a grant that came out like Clinton did. It gave $1,000, but you put all those police on the streets with a grant. And if you accepted that grant, you had to maintain that level of police mm-hmm. officers. You could not lay them off. So that means that you had to increase your budget. And if you refuse that, then, you know, that's just you didn't get it. But the federal government does not play for policing.
Mm-hmm.
We citizens do with the taxes. And that's why they're public employees, just like the people who work for parks. They're public employees. They work right. for us. And I think that that's the one shift. If we can get that. We can get that shift again, just like they started. Just like they went from a fetus being an unborn baby
yeah.
to having a baby be unborn, calling a baby. I mean,
yeah.
people
yeah.
really. I mean, and that's the shift that I'm talking about, because people don't understand that a fetus does not breathe on its own, breathes because the mother is breathing. Mm-hmm. And there's a direct, there's a relationship there. And if the mother's not breathing, then the fetus is in trouble. And so it took about 25 years for people to believe that. And now it's part of the lexicon that people automatically thinks that. And years ago, we knew that that wasn't considered the truth until the baby was being born and could breathe on its own, because took the first breath. See, so again, we can do this, but it takes repetition in the community. And that's what I think that we're going to be doing tomorrow night, going to be pointing it in, telling the people about it. And who's going to lead that discussion? Because I'm a commissioner, but I'm not leading that piece. So let me be clear, y'all. I'm not leading that. If anybody thinks that I'm leading it, it's not. So who's going to be leading the discussion?
So that's going to be myself, the executive director of the Community Police Commission, and CPC co-chair Joel Merkel. He's an attorney. He works for the state attorney general's office. And between the two of us, we're going to break down what is actually in the contract that was leaked, and also explain more what these different provisions are. I mean, contract language is really complicated for anyone that has, you know, bought a house. If you actually read the details of that, that's kind of what these contracts are like. They're very, very complex. However, it's really important. I'm glad you brought it up, Reverend Walden, that this is for the community. That's why the police are here, are to protect the community, to be part of the community, to engage with the community in a way that is constitutional and respectful of the community and their needs and desires. That's really what the 2017 Accountability Ordinance focused on, was the importance of community and what they need and what the police need to do that the community trusts them. So the contracts are a very important part of that, because this is some ways, not all the time, but some ways in which they avoid that trusting relationship. It gets them off the hook with when it comes to certain types of discipline. And right, that is all done intentionally in yes, this very complex language. So myself right. and CPC co-chair Joel Merkel are going to explain all this on meeting tomorrow.
Well, one thing I learned over the years is there's a difference between shall and will.
Mm-hmm.
Shall means something totally different than will. And it takes a while to get that, unless you're a policy person that absolutely understands policy. Because as regular people, we sometimes interchange well, will, and shall. And it might not be correct English, or you might not be doing it correctly. But when you're in this other world, and every sentence matters, every word matters, because one thing means that you might be able to hold somebody accountable. And the other one means there's a wiggle room there, and it's not going to be any accountability. That's the amazing piece on how the common man, I mean, and I'm, you know, I count myself as the common man, don't always understand these little things that keep it. And when you think you have something, and the people absolutely think they got something, and it's just a paper, it's just a paper tiger. It's not going to do anything, because one of the things that you know for sure, if the policy is not updated and the police officer is not trained to the policy, it will be Correct. No discipline. That's all over America. It's not only here. And that's why it's important for the policy to be updated and the officers to be trained. And now I think they have so many mandated hours for training. Mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know, they're behind, I guess, on some COVID and stuff, but it's important. I mean, it's important, but also I think officer wellness is important, because we know, and you know, because you do volunteer work on the other side of the ledger that you do in the community. But if they go from one place to another one, no mm-hmm. time, no lag time, it has to weigh on them, whether we like them or not, they're humans. I mean, you know, whether we can, whatever we say about them, they are breathing and moving in the world like us. And it's no depository to put that down before you go to another call. See what I mean?
Yeah, that's been something that's of serious concern for the police department because there are so few of them. Right. They're far under what they were even 2-3 years ago. And the city's been growing. The population of Seattle has been growing significantly. So this is something that when you think about it, yeah, if you're an officer and there's, you know, one shot and then somebody's hit by a car and then somebody's having their house broken into, you have to do those one after the other because you are the only one that can respond to those. So officer wellness is something that's very important and a great concern.
Well, and sometimes they have the well checks, you know, they have to go in and then they find people who are deceased and a whole bunch of other things. And then they find children who've been harmed. I mean, so we have a dichotomy working with police accountability because we know that on sometimes they find situations with children, you know, being trafficking. I mean, I think it's an incident that happened. It's in the news last week about an officer involved shooting, but I mean, trafficking of young children and all of those kinds of things. And so I know for myself, sometimes it's getting like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with all this stuff? So, I mean, you know, because we have to figure out how everybody going to be in the world. And although we're talking here about a better contract, we also know on the human side of this, they don't have any hardly any downtime. And we know that they do really do need a downtime. So anyway, so let's give them out the address again about our meeting tomorrow. And we'll have a little snacks there for people, right?
Yes, there's going to be snacks. There's going to be soda and water and plenty to drink. That is at Van Asselt Community Center. Don't remember the address off the top of my head, but I'm going to look it up.
It's at that.
That is at, oh my gosh. They are at 2820 South Myrtle Street in Seattle.
Right. And it's right up the hill. I mean, if you're coming up, down Rainier, you can get to it that way, or MLK, you can get to it, and it's a great park. It's a part of the Seattle Parks Department. It's a nice location. It's plenty, should be ample parking. We have extended daylight, daylight will still be available when we leave. That's right, because now it's sun is setting like a little after 8, and our meeting is over at 7:30, is that right? 7:45, because all the community centers are closing by 8 o'clock. So one more time, give the address and the time that people should be there.
Yes, it's Van Asselt Community Center. That is 2820 South Myrtle Street in Seattle. The meeting starts at 5:30. If you want to get snacks and drinks, come on down. We really look forward to hearing your voice at this meeting.
Well, I encourage people to come out. I mean, because one thing about America, and you are a professor, you'll always be a professor, but right now you're the executive director of the Community Police Commission. Once a professor, always a teacher. But I think the one thing that most people miss in America, and that's the beauty of America, if people understood the system, it's a participatory system. Everybody has two representatives and a senator on every level. Everybody does. I mean, you know, whether you're homeless, and even whether you're locked up, I mean, you might not be able to vote, but that's it. And so it only works if you participate. You have to participate. And I know people ask me, well, why you stay? I said, well, once you take your marbles and go home, you're not counted anymore. So really and truly, you must participate. And it's for school boards. It's for everything. And I know why a lot of people now that would like to have an autocratic system is because they think that they'll get more done. Well, an autocratic system like in Cuba and all these other places, they just tell you what time to get up and what time to go to bed, and that you can't think of free thought in between.
Yeah.
See, and you know why people like coming to America? Because they know that they can think of free thought. But people don't understand that. Neither party does a good job in educating the people on what kind of system it is. It is a participatory system. That's the beauty of it. Once you catch that, then you want to participate. I mean, I used to like to go to campus down in Olympia before COVID and stuff. I was down on campus more than once because I was down there always. I used to take my son Omai was a page down there one time. And I take people to campus. Sometimes people have never been down there. It's beautiful when you understand how it works. And it's always, you're always trying to catch up because it's not enough. I mean, the system is designed for you to always trying to catch up like we're doing right now, trying to catch up. But But it is still a beautiful system if we can understand it, you know. And I think that's what turns you on to being a policy,
Yeah, I used to teach legislative policy when I was a professor at Evergreen State College in Olympia and Tacoma. I taught in both places. And yeah, it was really fun to see the students learn more about this process. Again, the legislators, yeah, it's a fancy building down in Olympia. It's all really nice, but they work for you.
That's right.
Of them work for you. And so it's empowering yourself with the tools and knowledge to go and be part of that process. And so I really encourage all of you to come to this meeting that we're having tomorrow night, but also to reach out to your legislators. They are happy to hear from you.
Yes, and really and truly they are, because then we keep them accountable. See, and when I started Mothers years ago, we used to say accountability is for everybody, not only for the police, it's for the communities, it's for teachers.
Very much so.
It's a, I mean, but this is a system of accountability is for everyone. And we can't leave anybody out of that. I mean, people have to be accountable with their pets. I mean, how they come in. I mean, it's like every juncture of the of America, we need accountability. And it's not for the other guy. It is for myself. It is for other people. It's for everyone. And we got one more minute. So if you could just announce the time again, to, you know, if you can announce it there one more time.
I'm more than happy to. So this is the CPC's meeting on the SPOG contract. This is going to be at Van Asselt Community Center at 5:30 tomorrow, Tuesday, April 23rd. And again, that is at 2820 South Myrtle Street in Seattle.
Well, thank you so much for that. And thank you for being on the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. And I'll be at that meeting. I'll be at that meeting tomorrow night. So I'll see you there.
I'll see you there.
All right. Thank you. All right. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. Enjoy your day and enjoy the rest of the week, and I'll be back next week.